I'm Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us on the line today is Ms. Jackie May, who is the editor of Marie Claire magazine. Welcome to the show.
Hello, and thank you for inviting me to your show. I feel quite privileged to be on it.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the air and to hear about your experiences as we go through the conversation. Marie Claire is an international monthly magazine for women. It was first published way back in 1937 in France, and various editions have been published in many countries as well as languages across the world, and you helm the South African version, which is described as iconic, trend-setting, go-to title for discerning, fashion-conscious women, delivers sophisticated fashion and beauty trends, real women's stories, as well as entertainment and celebrity news. As an editor of an international magazine, you're tasked with multiple responsibilities, ranging from providing readers with relevant content, as well as delivering audience figures for the commercial aspect of the publishing business, all within the guidelines of the mother brand of Marie Claire, these days extending from print to online platforms. What is your greatest challenge in this role?
It's a good question, and I think it's a question that if you'd asked any editor of a magazine or a newspaper currently across the world, the answer would be very similar, which is working with small teams. The teams have become smaller as the challenges in the media have got bigger. So it's having a very small but a very talented and hardworking team, and then trying to keep an eye on what's being published across all the platforms. So in the old days, we would only have to worry about what's going out in our print edition, but now we've got, you know, print, we've got the web, we've got Instagram, we've got Twitter, as you know, it's all, you know, it's everywhere. So it's to try and keep on top of everything, which obviously you cannot do. So sometimes, you know, I'll get home at night and I would have signed up a whole lot of print pages, and then I start playing with what's been going on during the day on the other platforms, and I'll start sending SMSs or emails for things to be changed. Unfortunately, you know, obviously after they've been published, but I'm going to try going forward to try and prevent, you know, try and be on top of it before they get published. But you just absolutely cannot be everywhere all the time. So I think that to me is the biggest thing. And obviously, you know, quality is incredibly important for both growing our audiences and for the commercial aspect of the business.
And it's quite interesting, the transition from a print point of view was all you had fixed deadlines, it was put the magazine together, out on a monthly basis. But now, as you say, going into multiple platforms, which are almost real time, it's another dynamic and challenge.
It's also very exciting. I love it. I'm spending more and more time at the back end of our website and looking at Snapchat and playing around with GIFs, and it's actually just so incredibly exciting. And I'm not a millennial, and then trying to pretend to be one is not possible. But, you know, I think the younger generation are so much more adept at playing with those platforms. But it's just to make sure that, you know, we're all on the same page in terms of the brand and what it is that we're trying to achieve with our brand and what we're trying to say and the messages we're sending out into the world. And those are very important messages. I mean, we feel quite strongly about who we are. And I love what Marie Claire is and what the brand has been and what it's evolved to become. And to be, you know, to be an editor of this brand is a great privilege. So it's kind of being the caretaker of the messages that we are sending out. You know, I suppose one of the advantages of being a small team is that the communication is quite fluid. So, you know, we're all chatting to each other all day and just making sure. And I think and everybody who's working there at the moment does feel strongly about what we're doing.
And as caretaker of the brand, Marie Claire, in your capacity as editor, what milestones do you want to achieve?
I think, you know, one thing that came to mind when you say that is obviously I'd love to grow print sales, but I think that's nostalgic and it'll be bucking an international trend. So, you know, I'd obviously try and achieve that, but I think as an editor, I would love to grow engagement and to grow our audience, but also to pursue what the brand is trying to do, and which is like we're a support for women. We're a place for women to come and spend time not only around what the fashion and beauty trends are and you know, what and where you can buy, but also, you know, we are support. We want to engage with women who are trying to achieve things on whatever level and whatever it may be in their personal or professional lives. We share our challenges. We sort of a safe space to speak your mind about anything that is bothering you, and to create a platform, whatever it is, multiple platforms, so we can reach out to women everywhere in South Africa and just Southern Africa, hopefully. So I feel like it's a home, a safe space, I think, for us to be in and play in and talk about what's worrying us.
And it's a really enduring brand positioning to almost take ownership of that, of being a safe space, a place of support for women to spend their time with you, and a strong heritage for Marie Claire. Well, 2017 will be its 80th year.
Yes, so that's international. I mean, that's how long it's been around internationally. In South Africa, next year, we'll be celebrating our 20th anniversary with the published show. So next year's a big year for Marie Claire. And here, brand has grown, and I think, you know, South African women associated with certain things that I think that the international brand has always aspired to. So I feel, yeah, it's a great place to be.
And talking about 20 years, your career in media has spanned more than two decades. Can you share a few of the landmarks in your career?
Yes. I've had quite a checkered media career. I've always been in media, but I've played across different mediums. I've been in television, and in television I've worked on documentaries and on soap opera, and I've been in women's magazines and newspapers. And I think for me, working internationally, I worked in London for 3 years for a South African company. That was a great eye-opener, and I loved being exposed. That gave me exposure to international publications, which I think, you know, as much as we do have access here, just being, and this is pre-internet age, so having the privilege of reading multiple magazines and newspapers for 3 years was just such a pleasure. That was one great place to be. But also, I think moving to Joburg and working in a very diverse environment in both television and in the newspaper newsroom that I worked in was just incredible for me because, you know, I am a white woman. I grew up in relative privilege. So to be in a very diverse and dynamic environment, I think just kind of opens your mind, opens, changes perspectives. I think really important for anybody working in South Africa. So, I mean, those are quite vague answers, but I think in terms of my career and in terms of how I think about the world, both those experiences have been very rich and very useful to me. And then I think just persevering and access to different jobs and different kinds of jobs. I've worked as a freelancer, which was very important and very an eye-opening experience, incredibly hard work. I mean, anybody who says to me they're freelance, I cannot take my hat off them as well. Very impressed. I know how hard it is. And anything I haven't done is radio.
Well, you're on the air now.
I don't know how to switch those switches that you have in front of you.
The media is a fascinating environment, and it also plays a really important role in terms of its communication and what it puts out into the public. In 2015, there's an institution called Genderlinks, and they conducted a study covering gender in the media industry across the Southern African region. And what they found, it's a common trend that I've picked up from an education perspective, the ratio of women to men studying media is at 64% to 36%. Yet, despite this bias towards women, when you look at the employment side, women only account for 40% of media employees and 34% of media managers. Further to that, which I found quite striking, is that women's views and voices only account for 20% of news sources in the Southern African media space, which is lower than the global average of 24%. Marie Claire was designed for women, and as we've mentioned, 2017 celebrates its 80th anniversary, and in South Africa it celebrates its 20th anniversary. So it has an incredibly long history, with editions published in numerous countries and languages. In your opinion, due to the fact that Marie Claire is an international magazine for women, do you think it excludes you from those stats?
Yes, in the way that Marie Claire and where it's published in South Africa, yes, it definitely does. I work for a family-owned and run business, and it's managed by Jane Raffaele and her daughter Julia Raffaele. So that immediately changes, you know, those percentages for whatever ones Agenda Links has found, because the company, I think, has 120 employees, and I think maybe a handful of those are men. The managers are mostly women, and I think that is very unusual in South Africa. But from my previous experiences, I feel that this is a very concerning stat that they found. And it's true. I mean, the more senior you become, the fewer women are in the room, and the fewer female voices are heard. And I wondered what it is, you know, trying to think and reflect on what it is about us and our environments that lets us happen. It's just, you know, old habits and institutional norms and habits that have to be changed. So we still have a long road ahead of us as women manage employees and workers and employers. But I think where I currently work, it's very interesting to be around women. In fact, when I first joined them, which wasn't long ago, it took me a while to get used to only having women, mostly having women around me. And I thoroughly enjoy it, actually. It's great. It's a very free environment.
But given what you're saying with the Rafaeli family owning and being publishers of magazines, it's almost as though they've managed to ring-fence an environment which is safe, which is productive, and allows women to blossom and be effective in their roles in the media.
Yeah, I think because it's women's magazines that they are publishing, it is, you know, by definition going to be more female focused in what it's producing and in who works there. And I think by working with women only, I think it does. I don't know how intentionally it's done, but that safe space is created. I mean, we do share, you know, it's like many of us have children, we have, you know, issues that we can sympathize and support. So, I think it's a very interesting place to be in.
Now, one of the most difficult components that gender equality principles speak about is the work-life balance and career development. As a successful woman who has worked hard to build your career, what is your perspective of this, and do you think that there is an all-in-one magic winning formula which can offer practical applications for women to manage it all?
No, I mean, I don't think there is a winning formula at all. I think we all sort of fumble through it in many ways. And obviously, as time goes by, you get better at it. But I think one of the most important things is just having enough support around you. And if you can't have it, you know, from family and partners, we have to spend money on it. And many of us do. But, you know, I said this once at a speech I gave at a school, that partnering role is probably one of the most important things that anybody can do for themselves, is making sure that you have a very strong support in the person you choose to spend your life with, if you are going to be spending your life with. But in terms of getting the balance right, I suppose it's about organizing yourself and having, you know, making sure that you've got your home base covered and you know, having enough hours in the day to address all the work issues you've got to deal with too. It is, you know, it's hard, and I think nothing is ever perfect, and you never quite complete a day's work in a day. And you know, you pick up things at night again, and you know, you just do the best you can in the time that you have. And tomorrow's another day, and you try and improve on what you've done the previous day, I think is what I've always tried to do, you know. And I have three kids, which is, you know, it's quite a big family and very demanding, but I kind of manage somehow.
But also, as we've said earlier, you know, given the transition between print and going into online, a space which lives 24/7, work these days is no longer the 9-to-5. It is also almost a 24/7, and we kind of have to look at a way where we get an almost an integration of work and life as opposed to a balance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know, I mean, is it the right thing to do? I mean, kids are also having sort of a seamless online and offline life, which we all try and fight. And I mean, we're not necessarily conscious of ourselves doing it, but we kind of resisting it terribly, but can we resist it? I mean, should we say it, you know, when you get home at 6 o'clock that it's over, but it can't be. There's so much else to look after and do and watch and read, and it's all, you know, a lot, most of it is online. So I don't know if we've entirely understood the effect of how this 24/7, you know, how this work environment is affecting our lives. We certainly have less time available to do stuff that we would normally have done with our families. I don't know the full effect of it has actually hit us. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it is a strange dynamic and one that we are learning to navigate but haven't fully grasped yet, because there is always, always something happening. And with this constantness, it just continues.
I mean, I think how you manage your family is in many ways how you, or I suppose me, how we run our families, how my work-life balance is then managed as well, because what we do over the weekend and how much time my kids have off their screens and how much time I have with them. So, you know, that stuff is, and then obviously they're off screen and I must engage with them, and I can't be on screen. So, you know, important things to keep in mind. But I think weekdays are also different to weekends, and weekends are very precious. And then, of course, there's your own life and your own needs to fulfill outside of the family. I mean, that's another whole kind of pillar of one's life one has to look after.
Yes, carving in the me time.
Yeah.
Can you share with us some of the gender challenges that you've encountered in your career, and what would your advice be to women facing similar situations?
I think, you know, in the kind of work that I've done, and I think salary is a big one. I feel that for a large part and for a long time that as a woman we're not paid as well as our male colleagues. And at some stage in my career, I became incredibly angry about that and very demanding, in fact. I think, I don't want to say it was my fault, but at some stage in my life, I said, I just want a job. I just need to get out of, you know, I just need this job, and I'll just do it for a year, and then I'll go back and be a mother at home. I took the job without negotiating a decent salary, and that sort of set a low base. I don't think a man in that similar situation would have ever gone into a job negotiation with that attitude. And I think that was one of the biggest mistakes I've made. And, you know, when I talk to young women, it's one of the things I always tell them is don't, you know, just be very careful about your salary negotiations. You've got to do your research, make sure you know what that job is worth. And one of the other big challenges I faced along the line was I had a contract with a television company, and I became pregnant with my first child, and the contract wasn't renewed because I was told I wouldn't be able to do the job. It was quite a physically challenging job as a director. But I went and consulted a lawyer immediately because I thought that there was something wrong about that, and it was addressed. The lawyer and I were right about that. And, you know, I mean, there are things, I felt affronted by that, and I think if you feel affronted, you need to act on it. Important to respond. And I think the other big thing about being a woman, and I don't know, I'm sure most women will still understand what I'm saying, is that we don't feel confident about our voices and we don't speak up. You know, in meetings for many, many years, I felt that I wasn't confident enough to say what I felt and didn't speak my mind. And I wish that I could, you know, you never regret, you know, one shouldn't regret, but in many ways, I wish I could, in my 20s, have found my voice and spoken up about things that I felt strongly about sooner, and then I would be heard. And I think once you start speaking your mind and once you start saying what you feel, you grow from that place rather than, you know, keeping quiet and not saying what you feel. I think the sooner one speaks up, and the better for you. But I think traditionally, in many cases of work, women were looking for work but I think men often see women as needing work. Maybe I'm not talking about women in a lower employed
Like a nice to have, not a necessity.
Exactly, a nice to have. And I think many, you know, sometimes you know, I would be seen, in such one job, I think I was seen as a woman who was married to a man who, you know, had full-time employment and possibly he could keep the home running, but that I was just looking for something to do and that my salary was offered to me from, with that in mind. And I have actually heard from somebody who owns a business that's in fact the woman he looks for because he knows he can employ them very cheaply and they don't need money. But that's just, you know, that's just a terrible attitude to have. You know, these women are worth, you know, what they do, not who they're married to. So I think it's just, it really irritates me intensely, that attitude.
Oh, it's taking total advantage.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
I think those are all really important learnings and words of advice to pass on, particularly from a salary perspective, doing those negotiations to make sure that you're not consistently off of a low base for every new position that you find yourself in, taking action when you feel affronted, and being confident to find your voice. Today, we're talking to Miss Jackie May, who is the editor of Marie Claire.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Takataka and I'm UNICEF and Rollback Malaria Goodwill Ambassador. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in the struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights and democracy, a program against social ills such as racism, socio-economic class division and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Balka every week on this day at this time.
You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 902. Today we're talking to Miss Jackie May, who is the editor of Marie Claire. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In the previous segment, we spoke about some of the challenges, the journey that Jackie has taken through her career, the various opportunities that she's experienced within the television space as well as within the press room. We also spoke about some of the factors which are still holding women back from realizing their full potential within their career environment, whether it is about negotiating for salaries, whether it is about speaking up and finding the voice, and when things do not feel right, to utilize the legislation, to use the enablers that are in your environment to help you realize your opportunities or to confront the challenges. Jackie, from a practical perspective, one of the most common problems affecting women in corporate South Africa doesn't really seem to be a lack of legislation. South Africa has an abundance of legislation or programs, but rather it's about educating people on issues like gender equality in the workplace or women's rights. Based on your experience, how do you think women can achieve progress regarding issues that affect them?
So I think a lot of the answers that I probably give here would be similar to what I gave to you previously. But just in terms of, I think the big thing here is that we need to know that we have those rights. And, you know, they are there, but maybe not well enough known. And I think once you understand that you have that, it empowers you immediately to address the inequality that you're encountering in your workplace. And the more that we speak out and speak up and share our experiences about, you know, what's happening in our workplace, I think the better for all of us. And, you know, there are lots of people doing work and trying to enable women to have a better experience. And I think we need to be able to tap in and we need to know where those places are and who the people are we can speak to. So it's sharing our experiences and speaking about them. And I think it's happening more and more. I mean, if you look at Twitter, people are checking out where it's going wrong and women are actually incredibly outspoken. And the more it happens, the more it will happen and the better it is for everybody. I'm very encouraged by what's happening, especially on Twitter and social media, the voices people are finding. And I'm hoping that is translated into workplace rather than just happening, you know, in a social media environment. And I'm sure it is. I'm sure that that confidence is growing everywhere. But and to see it is great, I think.
Looking at social media or any type of media format, they are opportunities. They are platforms to put voices out there. And in part of your role as being an editor of a magazine and for distributing content, you come across a variety of content, whether that is culture, religion, tradition, and some of those topics can be sensitive or taboo. How do you deal with them?
That's a very interesting question. You know, I think as a white woman who grew up in relative privilege, I think that is my main, you know, that's what I have to guard against when I'm reading stuff and when I'm deciding on stories. You've got to be so conscious of your perspective on the world and how do other women relate to that? Not only women, but how does anybody who's reading whatever you're editing, publishing, how are they understanding how you put something together, the way you choose words, the way, you know, whose voices are you allowing to speak for whom? Those are all incredibly important decisions to make. And you know, you need to be very, very sensitive, but you also don't want to be overly guarded that whatever you're producing becomes, you know, lukewarm and
anemic.
Too boring. Yeah, I mean it. But I think, you know, not being sensitive to other people and to other opinions and the way the narrative of South Africa is developing and growing is incredibly rich, and you want to be able to be part of that, and you want to engage as many people in the conversation and in this progress that this progressive wide road that we're going on. And you know, I've made lapses and I've made mistakes, but I've also learned an incredible amount. I mean, people send me stories to read, or I publish things in our whatever platform I have, and it's like eye-opening, and I just feel that that's a wonderful place to be, you know, to read something that suddenly gives you a different perspective on something, and you've been so protected from that. You know, it could be anything. It could be the way we talk about, I don't know, humor, or I mean, we've all experienced that. Just be open to what other people are experiencing is so important. And anyway, it's just to say, I think one has to just keep very aware of what you're doing, and it is an incredible responsibility, isn't it, to be sensitive to all those you know, cultural, religious traditions in our country.
It is a delicate balance to manage. Mm. Staying with the topic of gender equality, obviously it is an incredibly important topic. It is gaining more and more of a global focus. South Africa had devised a Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill, which lapsed, and one of the principles that it had was about promoting and achieving equality for women across the board. I mean, from a political point of view, we've done incredibly well. We're ranked 8th in the world by the Interparliamentary Union, and I think we have either 41 or 42% representation of women. But when we look to other spheres of life, particularly in the business sector, we're woefully low. What are your perspectives on gender equality, and do you think legislation can help improve gender gaps?
I think legislation is very useful. I think having that gives you a reference and to use if you are feeling that the gender gap, you know, if the gender gap is there, there's legislation that you can use to close that gap. And I think to have something to aspire to an ideal of equality, you know, as much as it might feel far away from that equality, it's so important to have something to look forward to, something to work towards, something that we can, you know, fight for. We need that, you know, that place of perfection. You know, we might feel we will never reach, but we have to have something to look forward to. And I think legislation is very crucial. It's very important. You know, you don't want to over-legislate, you don't want to overrule. You don't have to have too many rules and regulations, but you need it there I feel strongly that it's important.
Given what you know today and your experiences in life, how do you think South Africa will look in 20 or 30 years' time concerning women's rights and gender equality?
I think it's looking pretty good. I mean, I think we on the right the right road, and I think we're doing very well. I mean, obviously the one big concern is violence against women. I don't know how that is going to be fixed, and I feel, you know, it's quite upsetting, especially now that we're in these 16 days of activism. It's kind of, you know, it's top of mind. Other than that, I feel, you know, the quality in the workplace, I think in marriage, we definitely have made strides, and I think we'll continue to make strides in politically as well. And I think we have to keep working towards what we want. I feel I don't know quite what to say about the sexual violence and the violence against women. I feel we have so much to do around that issue and so much to work on. And you know, everybody has to be involved with that battle. And we have to, as parents, we sort of make sure that we protect our children, that we teach them well, that they, and then we have to hopefully change the society that it doesn't have this terrible effect on women and children.
You're absolutely right. No, you're totally right there, that there almost has to be almost a re-engineering of society's views to help correct the scourge of violence against women and children. Now, turning towards more of a personal perspective on the different programs we've had, one of the questions that I ask our guests who've all made tremendous achievements in their respective fields of expertise is about some of the factors that have contributed towards their success. What would you say have been some of your key drivers?
I know it sounds a bit silly, but I think having children has been quite interesting. I had children quite late in my life, but children focus your life so acutely because you have, they sort of bring in a kind of a real awareness of life and the preciousness of it. And secondly, the time, you know, the time that you have for work has to become incredibly productive. So you drive yourself more at work. I think is one of definitely one of the key times in my life, or key things that happened to me in my life, where I've sort of become more focused on what it is that I want to do and where I want to be and what I do with my time. And then I think I've mentioned this already, working abroad was really, really an enriching experience for me. And then studying, I think, was, you know, I spent university, but I also did a lot of postgraduate while I was working, which was very interesting. And also, you know, I think, again, focus is studying and working, that's important. And then becoming politically aware at university was also a very key moment in my life in terms of what, you know, what I'm doing with it and what I'd like to do with it and how I think about the world. I think in terms of my kind of work itself, I think I've always just been, you know, at school, I think it was very conscientious, and that sort of grew to becoming like more hardworking. Sometimes I get very detail orientated and spend too much time in day to day stuff rather than seeing the big picture. But I think going forward, that's going to be more and more what I do, the sort of a bigger thinking and more concerned about what it is I'm trying to achieve for the brand as a whole and get more clarity. I think that's incredibly important.
And whilst we're in the reflecting space, what would you say has had the biggest impact on you to make you the person you are today?
I don't think there's one single thing that that has had an impact on me. I don't know. I feel quite driven. I don't know, and I can't explain to you why or what it's about, but maybe, I don't know, a fairly high level of energy, I'm not sure, an interest in the world. I'm curious. I think that's why I'm in the media, because there's so much information out there and we're always looking for things. I mean, I really admire people who choose to research one thing in their lives and spend, you know, 30 years inventing a particular thing. I mean, I don't think I could be that attentive to one issue. I think I'm curious. Yeah, I think that is probably what's kept me going and keeps me going.
And during your career, you've had a few lessons learnt. What would you say has been the best lesson?
I think not being defensive. You know, sometimes if somebody disagrees with what you say, for anyone, anybody else's behalf. But I think, you know, especially when I'm younger, to be defensive and try and defend your point of view rather than listening to what somebody else is saying. And working as a team is a powerful thing to do. Obviously, you're leading a team, but listening to what everybody says and listening to other points of view. And yeah, I think not being over defensive has been a very important lesson for me.
And lastly, we are unfortunately coming to the end of the show. Can you please share a few words of inspiration which you'd like to impart to young girls and women in the continent that are listening to us?
I think what is very important is to do something that you love. And I know it's not easy to find that when you're young, or you might not be able to see through all the possibilities that are out there for you. But, you know, just learning to do what you love through trying lots of different things is really important. You know, some people are fortunate enough to know exactly what it is they want to do from a very young age, but many of us have no idea, and we go into the world having not a clue what it is that we're going to end up doing 20 years later. But it's just to keep going and keep trying and being open to different experiences and being open to opinions and standing your ground, you know, listening to everything, but still standing your ground in what you believe is right. I think it's very important. And I've said this before. I mean, I think it's really, really important to in your personal life, to find happiness. You know, I think putting up with an unhappy environment is detrimental to not only your personal life, but also to your professional life.
Well, thank you for sharing. I think those are really interesting points, particularly about keeping the doors open and not closing them onto your life, and also about the softer factors of looking at letting the joy and happiness into your life to resonate both within the personal and private space, but also into your work life too.
Great. Well, thank you. And thank you so much for inviting me onto your show. It's been great to talk to you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We look forward to hearing about some of the next editions coming into your 20th anniversary year.
Okay, great. I'll definitely invite you to whatever celebrations we have. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, and we have been talking to Ms. Jackie May, editor of Marie Claire.